Will you turn in your Bible, please, this morning to Micah chapter 5 once again. And we will have one more verse than we had last week. We started with 2, then we had 2 and 3. Today we have 2, 3, and 4. Robert has the scripture for us. If you're using your Pew Bible, it's on page 1074.
But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from the old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of his name, of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. Amen.
Let's pray and thank God for his word. Heavenly Father, you are the one who foretells the end from the beginning. You are the one who tells things that are yet to come, even before they begin. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us your word, that you have given us promises from ancient times, Lord, that we can rely on and trust in. And we thank you especially for the promise of a good Savior that we have come to know and we expect to see very soon. Father, may your name be praised. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I bring you today good tidings of great joy that God has sent you a shepherd. God has sent you a shepherd. The Bible says he is one who meets our needs. One who meets our needs. He is the one who has the remedy for what ails us. And if you want to look and see in verse 3, which we had last time, verse 3 was about the remedying of a bad situation. Verse 3 predicted that his brethren shall return. Okay? And return suggests to us, it implies, that they were, for a time, not where they belonged. They were not at home. They were not in that good place that had been prepared for them. They were dispersed. They had been scattered. They were lost, and they were out of contact. And if you look in verse 3, you see the reason why they found themselves that way, because he had given them up. Okay, they were given up. And that is where the disobedient world finds itself, right? Isn't that what Romans says, that God gave them over? He gave them up to the defilements of their uncleanness. He gave them up into the hands of an enemy. Romans chapter 1 says, because they did not wish to retain within themselves the knowledge of God, he has let the world go, okay, to debase themselves in all manner of unrighteousness and immorality. And that's what's become of the world. And look, a lot of us can testify that's what had become of us. Okay? Out there, scattered, there was no rest for the wayward. But God gave us this promise. He recorded this promise to the ancient Israelites. And this is what we rejoice in at Christmas time, that with his hand he fulfilled what his mouth promised, in that he sent us a shepherd. Okay, verse 2, if you'll look back at that once again. Verse 2 told us that the promised one would be a ruler. Now in verse 4 we see that he is, to use the Latin word, he is a pastor. He is a shepherd. He is one who will stand and feed his flock, one who stands guard over and keeps watch and feeds his sheep. Okay, so let's shift our thoughts from the scepter to, let's say, the crook, okay, the shepherd's crook. Let's shift our thoughts to this delightful picture of a shepherd tending to a flock. And it transforms a little bit what we heard there at the end of verse 3, that they shall return, okay? Normally, when you think about the brethren returning, you think of, and this is true, a geographically scattered people, right? That's who the Israelites were and are. We think of this geographically scattered people returning to a land. And, you know, at this stage of history, this is plainly what we see happening, don't we? We see that migration back to the land. We see that return. And in the age to come, we expect that to be fully completed. But now with this verse here about the shepherd, it inclines us to think of that returning in another sense. And that's returning back to the safety of the flock, right? Back to the safety of the pen or to the pasture. And that's what the scripture says. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. That's why it's very, very good news that God has sent us a shepherd to seek and to save what was lost, okay? To recover the lambs and hoist them up on his shoulder and bring them back. Now, if it has ever been the case for you, perhaps it is the case currently, that you are weary and scattered, you're harassed and helpless. Why is that? It could be one of a number of reasons. One reason is that our sin makes us vulnerable to attack. Sin is essentially you giving the evil one permission to have a go at you. It could be because our ignorance of what is good for our souls misleads us so that we wander off. That might be why you're weary and scattered and harassed. It could be because inexperience and foolishness leads us to imagine that there's greener pastures over on the other side of that hill over there, and we go away to as a different parable might put it, to a far country. Okay, and so we have known fear and danger and pain and spiritual hunger and misery because we weren't where we belonged. Okay, when you're not obeying the Lord and you're not close to him in your heart, you're not where you belong. So I want to ask, are you where you belong today? You belong here. You belong close to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You belong close to God. That's where you belong. It's where God has created you to be. But if you're off scattered somewhere, he has sent you a shepherd. God has kept his word when the fullness of time had come. He sent forth his everlasting son into the world. And we read, he'll be the ruler of rulers, the king of kings, and the lord of lords. But here he's presented to us in a different costume, if you like, that of a shepherd. And the most happy and blessed people on earth are those who Peter speaks to when he says, you have returned, there's that word, you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Have you returned to the Lord Christ? He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And what? They follow me. Happy alone are those who know the joyful sound of their shepherd's voice, our shepherd calling us by name, comforting us, reassuring us, calling us onward. So listen, my friends, God has sent us a shepherd. He is for us. He is a minister. He is a watcher. He is a guide. A minister, a watcher, a guide. So God has provided his son to us to minister. To minister. He ministers to the flock. Verse 4, you can see, of Micah 5 says that he shall feed his flock. So the shepherd doesn't just stand around counting heads, does he? He is there to supply for the well-being of the flock. He ensures that for you there is grass and water. He lifts up the fallen ones, right? That could be you. He tends to the weak. He binds up their hurts, carries the littlest ones close to his breast or upon his shoulder. He's gentle. He's near. He is personally involved. He looks them in the eye and he knows their thoughts. Not just because he's the supreme being, right? Whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting, but because he himself has personally lived through weaknesses and griefs of his own. And so he can look you in the face and he knows your thoughts. He himself has known hunger and poverty and hatred and rejection and pain. God provided us his Son to minister to us all things that are necessary for life and health and peace. Secondly, God provided his Son to keep watch. Okay, Micah says he shall stand and feed his flock. The Lord Jesus Christ is on duty. He is alert to protect and defend. He, if you like, has planted his feet. He's fixed his post and he's settled in at his station and he shall not fail. He never sleeps. He shall stand and nothing is going to distract him from his charge. Nothing can make him slacken in his duty. He will detect the wolves, he'll drive them away, and he'll come to the aid and to the defense of his sheep. And so everyone who gives themselves into his care, okay, whosoever shall return to the flock, all such people place themselves in the best possible hands. Is that true? Micah says, and they shall abide. Okay, they shall rest. He maketh me to lie down. Okay, I can lie down because he stands over me keeping watch. I can eat my green grass and drink my clear water by the wayside because I know with him watching over me, I'm secure. And that's what Peter means by the shepherd and the overseer, okay, the watchkeeper over your souls. Okay, Isaiah says this, they shall feed along the roads, their pastures shall be on the heights. They shall neither hunger or thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them even by springs of water. He will guide them. He's provided his Son to me to minister to me, to minister to my needs. He's provided his Son to keep watch out for dangers. And thirdly, he's provided his Son to me to guide me to my safe haven. You know how the song goes, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow, right? My sheep know my voice and they follow me. God has sent me his Son in order to guide and order my life. He has sent his Son to you to guide and order your life. Now, I've said that life is hard for a Christian. But that's only from a certain point of view, right? It's only kind of half true. Life is easy if you realize that my Lord knows the way through the world. Yes, there is a wilderness, but it's simple for me. All I have to do is follow. It's the way of the transgressor that's hard, isn't it? It's the way of the backslider is hard. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this to you before, but the word that they translate backslider might not mean, like imagine a person climbing a hill or a mountain and they slip and they slide part of the way back down. It might mean like when you're trying to like draw an animal along by a rope and they dig in their heels and they go like this in the dirt. I'm trying to lead you. Why are you digging into the ground? Why are you sliding back like that? Okay. Why will you not go where the Lord is leading you? Don't you hear your conscience telling you it would be good for you to follow? It would make for your peace. It would make for your rest. My sheep follow. Jesus says to the Jews, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. Okay? Well, what is your conscience saying to you? Are you his sheep? Are you his flock? Or are you not his flock? He shall stand and feed his flock, not others, his flock. Happy are those, and only those, who stay close to the good shepherd that God has sent, whose ears prick up at the sound of his voice, and who hurry on along to follow him wherever he goes. Foolish and backsliding sheep who refuse to cooperate with the shepherd, they only cause themselves frustration and grief, and they make themselves vulnerable all over again to the devil. Return. Return to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Okay, I said he is sent for your well-being. Not to follow him is, I mean, it's suicidal, isn't it? It's foolishness, and it's self-defeating. Now, if those three things were not enough to change your attitude toward him, Micah has three more for us. And you'll see them in the verse that we have today. His strength, his majesty, and his fame. Has he not convincingly demonstrated to us his strength? Amen. Amen. He commands unclean spirits, and they flee. He speaks to the stormy sea, and it quiets itself. He simply says, I am he, and the arresting mob shrinks back and falls to the ground. He says, Lazarus, come out. And he comes. He has broken the bond of death. You know how the song goes, death cannot keep his prey. No, death cannot hold him. We are told he will shatter kingdoms. He will destroy sword and spear and chariot. He's going to roll up the actual sky like a scroll. Who is stronger than he is? Of whom the prophet says, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be for his people a shelter, the strength of the children of Israel. It is a naive, self-deceived fool who refuses to turn to such a one and run to him and be saved. His majesty, Micah says, he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. His majesty, just what did the shepherds see when they saw the angel? They saw barely a glimpse of the glory of heaven when he first came into the world. And even then, what does it say about the shepherds? They were sore afraid. Christ was transfigured on the mountain, and even his three closest friends sheltered their eyes from his brilliance, and they trembled as they heard the voice from above say, this is my son, listen to him. His majesty, it's the very majesty of God. It says the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Okay, and no wonder, right? The psalm says, the Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. Jehovah is my shepherd. So the shepherd that he sends is a very manifestation of his own being. Okay, we already considered how the Son existed in glory alongside the Father before the world was, how he set aside that glory for three decades to come down into this brown and gray world and be a peasant and a man without a home, a man subject to pain and bleeding and dying. Okay, it's why Isaiah says, who has believed our report? Okay, because if you've seen the movie, he doesn't look very majestic, does he? Who would believe it, right? He's just a plain old man. This man has no majesty. Don't let the movie fool you. Glorify me, he prayed. Glorify me, Father, with the glory I had with you before the world was. And I pray that these that you've given me, my sheep who hear my voice and they know me and they follow me, I pray that they may be with me where I am and that they may behold my glory, where thousands of angels attend him and surround him. He is the most excellent, most worthy of worship and praise and honor and blessing. And the scripture says he's going to ride forth in majesty and clothed in splendor. The scripture says he will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy the wicked one with the brightness of his presence when he comes to be marveled at by all those who believed in him. His majesty. So why then would any of us so faintly worship him? Why would any of us worry and fret as though it's not the very anointed one of God who's on our side keeping watch over? Okay, isn't that the enemy whispering unbelief into your ears when you're anxious and fretful? Aren't you being tempted to mistrust him? Hey, why this reluctance to take comfort in him? Worship his majesty. And lastly, give him his fame. And Micah says he shall be great to the ends of the earth. I swear by myself, God says, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. As surely as I live, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. His fame, he will be great to the ends of the earth. Now, we've learned and we know that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, right? Small start. But look where we are now in history, bit by bit, year by year, one person at a time, person after person, hears and understands the report, right? They hear the good tidings, they hear the news of a shepherd sent for them, an overseer, a keep watcher of their souls. And his fame is much greater than it once was, isn't it? There's many more men and women around the world now who call Christ their shepherd than did long ago. Mm-hmm. And for that, we praise God. Amen. Okay. And listen, the world is, as bad as we say the world is a much better place because of the knowledge of the Son of God, which has spread from shore to shore. Now, the scripture tells us, Micah says, his fame is going to be universal. Universal. He shall be great to the ends of the earth. But now I address the disciples here at First Baptist. The task is far from complete, isn't it? It's our task. The word of God must be spread. Okay, First Baptist, you and I have to be intentional. We have to be deliberate about spreading the word. We have to draw others into the flock. Even down here, we've got 30 empty seats we could fill. Don't just ask for prayer for people. Bring them here. Let's pray for them in person. They belong here, don't they? Don't just say, I wish my friend would get saved. Could you pray for them? Sure. Bring them. Let's pray for them right here. You be the instrument of their salvation. You write to them. You give them a tract. You give them an invitation. Okay, at the very least, take them a copy of a message or something, and then another one, and then another one. Okay, you tell them your story of what Christ has done for you. Okay, has Christ ever done anything good for you? Does your unsaved family member or friend know it by the way you live? Has his power, he is powerful, has his power ever done anything good for you? Has he been faithful to you? Has he taught you how to be generous? Would your friend know that? Do they see generosity in you? Do they see a sheep at rest under the care of a good shepherd? Do they see a well-watered, well-fed, no longer harassed and helpless sheep no longer dreaming of greener pastures somewhere else. Okay, what do people see? Would anyone have cause to be envious of your spiritual condition? Would they like to be a member of your flock? Has Christ taught you how to forgive? What evidence do people see in you that you know how to forgive? Do you love the Good Shepherd and want to stay close by his side? Okay, does your unsaved brother, mother, friend, neighbor, do they hear you say words of praise about your Savior? Okay, you invite them. You make his name great to the ends of the earth. Let people see how you honor and adore Christ, how you have crowned him king of your own life. He shall be great to the ends of the earth. Okay, whereas if you consider it, okay, if we disciples at First Baptist consider it a burden just to show up for church, just to contribute our own little share of worship and gifts to him ourselves in this little congregation, how are we going to propagate the fame of Jesus Christ to anybody else? Do you see that the Lord is going to bring hearts into subjection to him in the best possible way? Really, it's the only way that counts, and that's willingly. Willingly. Okay? Submission to Christ has to be willing, otherwise it's make-believe, it's false, right? Glad obedience to the one who he himself learned obedience, he rendered obedience. That's the only kind of obedience that he's going to acknowledge. You see, the shepherd, he draws us along with cords of love. That's how his kingdom is going to spread. That's how his name is going to become great. That's if we're ever going to demonstrate to this poor town that in this building there gathers a people who serve the Lord with gladness, who have truly called on a Savior, a Rescuer, a Shepherd, and a Watcher over our souls, it's going to be by the same method. Draw them along with cords of love. And it says, and they shall abide. His sheep safely graze. That means we need everyone's cooperation. We need everyone's help. Don't you know somebody who needs rest for their soul? Don't you know anybody who's weary and going astray? If you yourself have found safe pasture under the care of the Good Shepherd, tell people about it. Ring the bells. Ring the bells. Let the whole world know. God the Father gave his Son. He gave his own beloved one to this wicked, sinful earth to bring mankind his love, new birth. A shepherd, a minister, a watcher, a guide, strong, majestic, and great to the ends of the earth. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our good shepherd, we are so thankful to you, Lord Jesus, that you have called us to return to you. You lead us along safely. You provide for us many good things. You have given your own life to save this flock. We pray for one another, Lord Jesus Christ, that you would unite our hearts, that we would tell the good news of the wonderful shepherd that we have, that our hearts would just be filled, Lord, with love for you, that words of praise and honor and thanksgiving would flow out of our hearts and through our lips, that we might recommend you, Lord Jesus, to those who are weary and going astray, those who are hurting and sorrowful, those who are rebellious and backsliding. Lord, we want to be useful to you. We want to feel the sense of your, the warm sense of your nearness and your blessing. And so we just pray for one another, Lord. We pray for our church family that we would serve you well and be ready, Lord, always to tell of the goodness of the one that God has sent into the world to rescue us, redeem us, and protect us and take care of us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the precious gift of your Son, our perfect Savior. We pray in his name. Amen.